Welcome to episode number 6 of the Marketing Development Podcast. My name's Pete Everett and I'm your host, and today you're joining a conversation between myself and the wonderful Kim Doyle. Kim is an avid content creator and the former WordPress chick, and has recently launched her new product, Lead Surveys, and we'll be discussing all of that and also about how the differentiating factor in your personal branding is you. Strap yourselves in, guys. This is a good one. Welcome to episode 6 of the Marketing Development Podcast, and I am very honoured to have the delightful Kim Doyle with me. How are you doing, Kim?
I'm fantastic, Pete. I'm excited to be here. Thanks for asking me.
No, the pleasure is all mine. So, Kim's a great evangelist on social media to do with all things content, and I want to pick your brains a little bit about some of the things you got going on at the moment. But before we get into that, Kim, do you want to give us a quick intro to yourself and what you do?
Yeah, and you know what's fun, Pete, is depending on when this airs, I am starting to say I am formerly known as the WordPress chick. I'm sort of bogarting Prince's little thing there. But yeah, you know, at this point, it's 10 years online full time, and I have a software company. I am obsessed with content marketing, personal branding, and more about the relationship building. I see where I think the market's matured, and I'm excited about it. So I've done everything from, you know, websites, built an agency, done coaching, product sales, and I really have found my sweet spot with content, and which is also sort of where the software piece came out. So never thought I'd get to say I'm co-founder of a software company, but I get to do that now. So that's the long and short of it. And I'm a podcast fanatic as well. I love podcasting.
Well, I must admit, the WordPress chick has been on my podcast list for goodness knows how long. And I haven't listened to your latest one, which was all about funnel hacking live yet, but it is on the playlist to get to. So I was going to talk about this in a few moments, but you've obviously mentioned formerly the WordPress chick. So you're currently in the process of a rebrand yourself, aren't you?
I am. And even the podcast is just going to become the Kim Doyle Show. I'm just moving the feed. It's going to... So yeah, it's one of those things that WordPress... I'm not a developer. I'm not a coder. I fell in love with the platform, found that I had a knack for just sharing what I was doing and, hey, you can do this for users. And it's been great. But really, I would say probably 2 or 3 years ago, Pete, I went back to direct response marketing principles. And you hear this for anybody who's getting into marketing. You hear this all the time, but you see all these, oh, I can do this with Instagram, or I can do this with Facebook ads, and I'm going to do a mastermind. And there's all these sort of peripheral shiny objects, all have their place. I'm not negating that. But I hit a point where I was so tired of kind of, well, this is going to be it. This is going to be it. This is going to tip me over. And I was like, you know what? I'm going back to mastering the craft. And so from there, I really realized, you know, God bless WordPress. Like I said, I'll always be a fan and a user, obviously, but I fell in love with the process of creating content and going back to building relationships, and never wanted to do service work, to be honest with you. I fell into it. And so, you know, because I always felt like every time I was doing service work, I was building someone else's business, not my own. And even with the podcast, that's why I do a solo show, because I'm like, I want to be positioned as the expert as well as interviewing experts and building relationships. So yeah, hopefully by the end of this week, or if not next week, it'll be done. The rebrand. It's just time.
So your latest thing that you've released then, Kim, is Lead Surveys, isn't it? And that has literally just gone live in the last couple of weeks.
Like a week ago. And so it's not, you know, I haven't done any sort of like big push or launch, because anyone who has done software probably gets this too. There's just a bug here and a bug there, but you have to get users in. And so, yeah, Lead Surveys also came out of a frustration. Do you want me to tell the quick little story with Lead Surveys?
Go for it.
So, well, and this is just a testament to the relationship piece with marketing as well. Mm. My business partner reached out to me. They had done, I don't know, 100 WordPress plugins plus, did a lot of white labeling as well. And so he reached out to be on the podcast to see if I wanted to support their plugins, because they were moving off of Code Canyon. Anyways, we hit it off. And then he asked me after the interview, like, oh, do you have any ideas for a plugin? We started working on something. I couldn't get excited about a plugin. I feel like the WordPress ecosystem has a long way to go in terms of the way pricing and scalability of that. You know, I'm so happy to see that people are finally doing annual license renewals, but you still have a lot of re-educating, I think, of users to get it out of their head that software requires time and money to support. And long story short, I went to another website and saw that I saw this opt-in that is what lead surveys became. And I was floored that it didn't exist. And I saw this guy asking me a few questions at the point of opt-in, and I'm like, wow, he has so much data about me already. And so we pivoted. We were literally working on a plugin, and I said, I have an idea for a SaaS. Can we table that? So yeah, here we are. So lead surveys, it's leadsurveys.io, but it just last week we kind of cut the tape, the cord, I don't know what you would call. And so we're just trying to get people in. We've got a special for April, but it's nerve-wracking and exciting at the same time.
I bet. And, you know, yeah, I've been connected with you over the last few months. You know, I've seen some of the excitement building in what you've been doing. And it must be sort of such a release to have it launched, but at the same time, quite a nervousness that it's now open in the big wide world. And, you know, people vote with their feet, don't they?
Well, that's just it. And this is something we thought was going to launch last summer, right? And so here we are in April of 2018. I was thinking June of 2017, this thing would be live. And as anybody, I don't know, anytime you're going to ship or publish anything, it's you run into life, right? And my business partner got super sick and had some challenges. I had some personal stuff going on. So it is what it is. And it's scary. And so I have this hesitation of go all out, but let's make sure everything's working. So can we do this gingerly and then go all out, right? But at some point you just got to go.
Absolutely. So do you have like a sort of 20, 30 second, I don't know, 2 minute kind of elevator about what Lead Surveys is and what it does so that guys can go and check it out?
Yeah. Lead Surveys is basically, it's I say, yes, I do have it. And then I stumble over words. Lead Surveys is a great way to segment your subscribers at point of opt-in. And a better way to say that really is that it's, you know, this whole segmenting of subscribers, people get that they need to do it. But then it's kind of like, what do you do with it? The point is about building a relationship with your subscribers. I would rather have a list of 1,000 dedicated people who I know who they are and what they want versus 10,000 that's just wide and I have no idea what they're about. So all marketing is going towards personalized marketing in my, you know, I don't know, epiphany glass, you know, that I'm looking through thinking this is where it's going. But really, it's all about segmenting subscribers at the point of opt-in through simple surveys that convert. So you're asking, you know, anywhere from 2 to 4 or 5 questions, and you're getting data on your subscribers so that then you can serve them content and products based on who they told you they are and what their problems are.
That sounds, I mean, there's going to be serious power in that and getting the data that comes with any kind of user interaction. As you say, it helps with relationship building, but it also helps you refine what you do and how you deliver it as well, doesn't it? And that's such an important part of optimizing your content, optimizing your website, optimizing your offer, essentially optimizing your marketing message.
Well, that's the whole piece of it. And that's where because the site that I'd gone to, and I tried to hack it 12 ways sideways. It was a custom coded thing. And then I was going to have a developer do a plugin. And I was like, wait, everybody needs this. Because I realized, he asked me, you know, the few questions that I was asked was, you know, what do you consider yourself, or what do you consider yourself, but how would you define your business? Are you a podcaster, author, marketer, blogger, whatever? Next question. How big is your email list? What social platforms are you on? Great. Here's your download, right? Give us your name and email. And I thought, gosh, if you knew from the time somebody joined your list, wow, like 60% of my list are authors, right? Well, there you go. And then, you know, eventually, I mean, this is just version zero, and I have to be very careful about saying things, but I think there's a lot of magic that can happen in the conditional logic and the retargeting. So if this, then that. If you answer this, then you can get that. Or next time you come back to the site, we say, hey, Pete, last time you were here, you said you were a podcaster. Did you see our latest episode? So that's that piece of it. And it sounds a little bit ninja because on the flip side of it, like I hate Infusionsoft, okay? Anything that makes my head hurt. So I'm always coming from this has to be easy to use. This has to be easy to use. I don't want to have to do branching logic and 22 things sideways. The point is that this can replace the opt-in, and you can do just a basic opt-in as well, but that you're having a conversation with people based on what they've told you from day one.
That sounds so cool. I can't wait to give it a go.
Thank you.
It's one of those, you know, I come from a developer's background, and people often ask me, why did I come to become a developer? And it's because I loved making things work. You know, we work with designers, and I'm going to split the audience here by saying, you know, designers make pretty pictures, but as a developer, I took that picture and I made it actually do something, and you get stuff back, you start interacting with it, and getting that data back, having that almost real-time connection with your audience. I mean, that's seriously going to take, it's seriously going to make you stand out from the crowd, isn't it? I mean, it's brilliant.
Well, thanks. And I think, you know, coming from a place of two, it's not just about what can I sell you, but it's engaging in that conversation, right? Like where I was saying earlier that the market has matured. We, you know, I mean, I don't know, internet marketing, whatever. I've only been doing this 10 years. It's not a super old industry, right? But people that have been around just a couple years, what worked 5 years ago isn't working. And so people are finally getting, oh, you need to build an actual business, right? This is the long game. This is when you nurture and develop relationships and have conversations with people. And maybe plenty of people got that. But a lot of people, when they jump into this space, it feels like, oh, I can get rich overnight. I mean, I thought I was going to be an ebook info millionaire, you know, within a year. And ended up doing websites. But so it that whole piece of it, it's, and so that's where, as a company, you know, it's nerve-wracking for me because I know how to do me. I know how to do the personal brand. I don't want lead surveys to be the Kim Doyle Show. And so it's going to be unique in finding the voice of that brand and providing as much education and value, because that's it. It's just having conversations with people is what's going to differentiate us, I think.
That's brilliant. Look, I'll put links to all of that in the show notes so people can come through and check it out. And, you know, if you want to reach out to Kim and give us some feedback on version zero of lead surveys, then I'm sure she'll be more than welcome to receive that feedback. So just what I thought would be really cool to do, Kim, is just to, obviously, you've just spoken about lead surveys, which is your newest thing. But just before lead surveys, you also ran a content creator summit, didn't you, in March?
I did.
How did that go?
The summit went really well, considering I pulled it all together from start to finish, like in 6 weeks. I would probably give myself, you know, 3 or 4 months. I would definitely do a summit again. You know, and I apologize, but everybody knows I'm a Gary Vee fan, so I might have to quote him a couple times. One of the things that I love that Gary says is expect nothing. He's never disappointed because he doesn't expect anything from anybody. The content, the sessions were amazing. But as is life, anytime you're going to pull together, you know, I had 24 speakers. It all went off smoothly, technically. You know, that piece was done well. But some people say they'll promote and then they don't, or life happens. And so there was this, you know, 12-year-old inside me, it was like, what happened? These people said they were going to do this and they didn't. And then I step back and I say, look, you made more in product sales doing this than you had in the last, I don't know, you know, service. I haven't done service work in about a year and a half, but you know, I'm saying it was like, I had to step back and break it down. So the content was amazing. I developed this huge asset, grew my list, made money, and developed really good connections. And so from that perspective, it was fantastic. It's a ton of work, you know, and for me, I mean, I do podcasting, I do interviews, I love doing this stuff, but to get 24 interviews done and set like in a month's time was a little bit tiring, to be honest with you, but I loved it. It's kind of like, and I'm sure you feel this, Pete, every time you get on a podcast interview, it's like you get a new excitement. I always find whenever I interview somebody, it's like you get this whole new zest for what you're doing because you're getting a different insight and you're getting a different understanding. So the Content Creator Summit was amazing. And I would just allow myself a little bit more recording time and a little bit more promotion time. And it really, I was horrible about promoting my stuff. I had been for so long. And once I started doing my pseudo daily emails, which are not right now. But when I started doing that, you know, you kind of get out of your, oh, are people going to be bothered by this? It's the reality is most people don't see things the first time you put it out. So you have to be just prolific in promoting. You have to just do it over and over and over again. Step outside of your comfort zone and do it more than you think you have to. Overall, that was a super long answer. It was a great experience and I would absolutely do it again.
I've got access to the videos and stuff because you've put them all up, haven't you? So if, although the summit's passed, if anybody wants to check it out, they can register and get access to the sessions themselves, can't they?
Yeah, there's audio. So what I did is I'm still getting some of the transcripts back, but we've got the audio, the video, and the transcripts from every session. You know, and then I look at it too, that it's like, okay, well, maybe I can take all of the podcaster sessions, all of the video sessions, all of the written sessions, and put those in their sort of own product as expert sessions. So maybe you're not interested in podcasting, but you want to know what the people who are writing great content had to deliver. So, you know, there's that element as well. But yeah, you can absolutely get an all access pass to everything.
Fantastic. Well, you'll drop the link again through to me, and I'll stick that in the show notes, Kim, so that, people can click through and find that. I know that I've checked out, I haven't been through all of them, but I've checked out a good number of them, and there's some serious, for starters, I mean, you've got some serious names to come and commit to this as well, considering, as you say, it was an idea that you pulled together in 6 weeks. You seriously got some good people involved. And then to deliver it and get it on there so it's a resource that people can go back to. I know that I kind of had a bit of a binge watch when I first got access to it. And, you know, it became, you know, was sitting in front of the TV at home, and I've got my iPad with my headphones on, and I'm getting this glare across from the other sofa from my wife as she's saying, you know, come on. Yeah. Okay, you've been at work all day. It's now time to
turn it off. Kind
of thing. Yeah, turn it off. Put it down. But no, seriously, I watched a good number of them. But now that, because of the way you've set it up with the lifetime access, it's great, because now you can just dive in and you know, either listen to something that you haven't listened to before, or if it is something that, and you just think, I can't quite remember what was that about, who said that, you can just dive in and go and pick up those nuggets of information again. So it's a fantastic resource that you've got there, and to say you did it in 6 weeks is fantastic.
It was crazy. Thank you. It was a little bit nutty, but I thought, you know what? And here's the funny thing, because I, you know, I'd watch summits and I've seen them where they do, you know, 40, 50 speakers. To me, that feels like you're just forcing the purchase of the All Access Pass, because nobody can watch all that, because it's free when it's live, right? For those 4 days. Mm-hmm. And so the piece of it, I knew I needed to pull the trigger. So I thought, you better start inviting people. You know, self-awareness is something Gary Vee talks about too. And it's, I've really started to own what works for me. Accountability works for me. Putting it out there, saying I'm going to do something, now I have to do it. So I found what worked for me. And I also wanted to get the system put in place. And I'm super blessed that I have amazing kids. My daughter, though, is a film student in Southern California. And so she did all the video editing for me. She did all the social graphics. I mean, thankfully, you know, and I could not have pulled the summit off without her, without a doubt. And so, you know, having that was a godsend. It wasn't all me just doing it. But at the same time, now the whole framework is done. Like, I have the entire framework. I've got emails. I've got Swipe. I've got a calendar. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, now it would just be like, do the interviews or, you know, do all the sessions, and then sort of push a button and edit a little bit. So it's definitely something I'd do again.
Well, if you've ever got a spot in one of your summits for a northern speaking English bloke, then that isn't Lee Jackson.
Well, no, I would love to, Pete, because that's the beauty of it too. And so, yeah, you know where I was saying, like, there was a little bit of a disappointment with some people, and it wasn't like a, you know, I don't know. Some people require it. I'm speaking at something in February, July, excuse me. And there's a requirement for your list size. And I hadn't done that, but I think I would be a little bit more, please let me know how you're going to promote this. Can you give me, I have a real solid verbal understanding of that. But the point is, I think in having different guests on, I'm not one of those people like, I don't know, you can go for names, but it's all about quality, and then it's up to you. So that's how I look at it. And obviously you would deliver the quality.
Oh, that's very kind of you to say, especially as you're only episode 6 of this podcast. So,
but I've listened. It's good.
That's brilliant. Well, I've got to say the release of this is a little bit your fault. Because one of the other things that you've recently done, and I believe it's just come to a close or just coming to a close, is the first iteration of your Everything is Content course, isn't it?
Yeah. My hashtag is catching on.
Yeah, it is indeed. It is indeed. One day we'll get it trending for you. Now, I've been on this course. I'm doing this course, and it's great. I'm a little bit behind live, just with the time differences and stuff. You know, I've got a couple of small kids, and it sort of always hits bedtime, unfortunately. So I'm a couple of weeks behind you in terms of being live. But it's been a great kind of exposition of how to approach regular content. And I've been thinking of doing a podcast for I don't know, a few months, and our mutual friend Lee Jackson, who's now got his second name drop of the podcast, he's kind of been the nice way of saying it would be nurturing me or pushing me to get this live. And of course, you know, you've mentioned Gary Vee as well, and they talk about just getting your stuff out there. Just start, get going, and figure it out as you go along. And that's kind of what I've been doing with this. But with your with that mindset in mind about, you know, how do you break down your audience? How do you figure out your messaging? So how's the everything is content course gone? Because you didn't pivot it, but you added in some extra bits partway through, didn't you?
Yeah. So the whole idea behind the course, and it was, and this, and I have to tell people, like, this stemmed back when I said, I'm going to do this daily email. I had been watching somebody else do it, and I simply paid attention. Like, I like people to purchase courses, right? I sell them. But if you find something that seems to be working, if you pay attention and study it, I studied the way this guy did this for a year. Then I thought, I'm going to do this. I became a customer of his. And so I started implementing it. So it was a practice of telling a story, having it weave into something of value to the audience, and then providing a link. And so that stemmed a lot of this. And I thought, wow, I can kind of, everything really is content, right? And then it was having gone back, I had been a ClickFunnels customer early on, left. Russell Brunson used to drive me crazy. And then I read Expert Secrets. And he's still got a ton of energy and drives me a little crazy. However, he knows what he's doing. And so I read this book, Expert Secrets, where it comes back to before you're creating a product, but really getting in the mindset of your customers and how they think about how they purchase and what are you providing for them and sort of the whole copy piece. So I started getting into that and I thought, huh, well, then of course, which led me back to Gary Vee, because I also had a love-hate relationship with Gary Vee. I had a hashtag F the hustle. I was so tired of being told to hustle and grind. I'm like, I cannot work any harder. Well, that also came though, Pete, because I was doing the wrong work. I wasn't doing work that I loved, right? And now that I kid you not, I joke that I won the time lottery, because not having service work where I have to work on someone else's business, and God bless people that do it, it just wasn't my thing. But really getting to spend the time doing it, I realized, you know, Gary Vee's not telling you to do what he does. He's just saying, don't complain. do you, but don't complain. Now that I found work that I love, I watched Russell and I watched Gary Vee all the time. I'm like, they're literally doing this just document, don't share piece, right? And that's kind of how I grew the WordPress Chick. I was just like, oh, I figured out how to do this with a StudioPress theme pre-Genesis, right? I'm like, I figured out how to do this, and I would just share it. And I got snarky comments on YouTube. You need to learn how to use this software. You're making me dizzy. And I was like, well, whatever. I hit publish. So all of those experiences, and I just started sharing it. And truthfully, the podcast, Pete, I started the podcast. I was a big podcast listener, always have been. Like, I go back, you've probably heard me say this on my show, I had cassette tapes in my car when I used to commute. And like, I've always listened to audio. And, you know, the podcast, I started it because I wanted to have more fun. I was like, I've got to pull my voice into this brand. And what came out of it, it's so intangible what a podcast can do for your business to me. Relationships, connections, trust. You know, if somebody's willing to put me in their ears for an hour, I'm like, okay, we're totally buddies now. Like, we could go hang out and have a beer. But all of that, it was just trusting that. And I kept putting one foot in front of the other. So the everything is content. The whole thing came from it, because circling back to the market's matured, right? You have all these things that have worked for SEO and getting found in the search engines and, you know, commenting and guest posting and all of those things. I'm not saying that they don't work, but what happens, too many people get caught up with, I don't know how to do that. Personally, I hate keyword research. I pay someone to do it all day long, 12 ways sideways. But at the risk of never starting, start producing content. So that's where I'm like, look, you walk the dogs, piece of content, you know, and now we have all of these different platforms where you can create sort of micro content. People want to know who you are. They want to be on your journey with you. So the course itself came out of this. I think I can show people how to take their lives, their everyday lives. I'm going to give a quick example. So one of the gals in the course, Lorraine, and a lot of these people have similar businesses to what I had with the WordPress Chick, where they do websites. Well, she is from the UK, moved to Canada, and got out there, and she's like, I don't know how to, or did she know how to ice skate? I don't remember, but she joined a women's hockey league. I'm like, that's content. Like, share that journey. Let your customers, especially because she knows, you know, she works locally. I'm like, share that journey. And you can turn anything into not knowing how to ice skate to ending up on a team. And what did that do for you? You had the fortitude to stick with it and keep showing up. And we do that in our business all the time, right? I mean, I'm not a developer. I didn't know anything when I started, but I'm like, well, if I can put together IKEA furniture, I can do this. So the everything is content came about because too many people get stuck. They don't know what to come up with ideas. They're afraid to start. They're afraid to hit publish. And at the end of the day, I keep saying this. I'm like, you just have to do it. There is no magic this or that. But if you can take a visit to the grocery store and turn it into a piece of content, you know, a quote you read and turn it into an anchor recording, a conversation with somebody else, or do a screenshot of an engagement on Facebook and turn that into a post. Everything really is content. That was a super long rant. I'm sorry.
No, that's great. That was brilliant. I'm sitting here chuckling along to myself and picturing you putting together IKEA furniture. It's brilliant.
I'm pretty organized though. I lay out, here's all the screws. Here's all the bolts. Anyways.
Oh, I haven't got time for that. I've got two little children. I'm just trying to get it built before anybody eats anything. So,
yeah.
You know, that what kind of made sense for me as we were going through the, as we've been going through some of the everything is content sessions is I went to Bible college I've got a degree in biblical studies, which is neither here nor there for what we're doing. But while we were there, one of the themes that came up was looking at aspects of faith and how to stand up for your faith and how that can be sometimes difficult. And one of the guys that was there on the course with me, he was giving this presentation and he said partway through it, if all you do is run the rat race, at the end of the race, you'll still be a rat.
And that, ooh, that's that, good.
I know it is, isn't it? And it kind of, it made sense in the context he was talking about it, but as I'm meeting entrepreneurs or solopreneurs or people that are teetering on the edge of going out on their own, the one piece of advice that comes back to me is that, and it was part of what you were doing through the Everything is Content course that made me think, you know what, if all I'm in a service-led business, and you've already alluded to the fact that you haven't done that for a while. But I'm in a service-led business. Time equals money. And if all I keep on doing is grinding that out and grinding that out, then I've got this picture of other stuff that I want to achieve. And that's not necessarily going to be the platform to do it. So if all I do is keep on doing that, that's all I'm ever going to get. So that was where this kind of step out into the unknown to put this podcast together, put this podcast live when I literally had half a dozen sort of names on a piece of paper, half a dozen ideas down. But you know what? We still haven't exhausted those. As you start the process and as you start going, other stuff opens opportunities and you think, right, well, actually, we're going down this path. There's now a few little tangents we can go off to fully explore that, deep dive into that, and then back out of it and go into something else. And that's that was what I got, certainly from the early sessions of the Everything is Content course. As I say, I haven't finished it yet. I have my scheduled time each sort of few days where I go and pick off another one to make sure that I get my way through it. But yeah, that was what kind of pushed me to launch this podcast. And that ultimately comes down to your course, which is, I suppose, I should really say, thanks, Kim. That was great.
You're welcome. Well, and thanks for that. It's like, I think, I don't know if last time you logged in, all the recordings are up there. And so having done that, that was sort of, I totally believe in the beta process of course development. And so I'd had the whole thing outlined and we did it live. And one of my intentions with this was that, you know, the first few probably we'd get on. And so I'd give like a little assignment, like in going through like, okay, can you tell a story about this, this, or this? And then I'd say, okay, go. Like, and they'd write for like 2 to 3 minutes. I'm like, and then I'd call on each person and ask, okay, this is what story can you tell with this? How can you share this? Or how can you, you know, pivot that into a piece of content that is valuable to your audience? Because, you know, I think there's a balance between stuff that's fun and entertaining as well as, okay, a value. But for myself, for the longest time, I was stuck in this how-to with WordPress, how-to. But what happened is I ended up creating a list of freebie seekers who just wanted me to teach them how to do stuff and didn't want to buy because I never pulled the trigger and sold anything. And so I made it for a while, but at a certain point, there is this element to marketing and building a business, especially online, that you need to get into the copy and the psychology and why do people buy and why do people, you know, why do people follow Gary Vee? Why, you know, and I love giving the ClickFunnels example again, because lead pages owned that market. They owned it. ClickFunnels came in and just shattered them with no venture capital. What was the differentiating factor? Regardless of whether or not you like a product, if you can look in that and say, well, why did that one do this and this one didn't, right? And because Russell Brunson understands the psychology of marketing and understands that people wanted to feel like they were part of something. So they created all this language. I'm a funnel hacker. They created, you know, a manifesto, all these different things. So people felt important, like they belonged, which is also, you know, when I launched the Content Creators Facebook group, the original intention with that, Pete, was, okay, well, I'll do a recurring revenue, like a membership. We'll teach one new piece of content a month. Keep it low end cost wise. I might do it at some point. I doubt it. But really it was like, because then I'd say to myself, okay, you think you're She-Ra, Wonder Woman, but like, what is the truth of being able to deliver a brand new training every month, launch a software company, keep a personal brand? Like you need to sleep. So don't do that. But in the meantime, it's like this amazing community. And so I had to step back and I was like, okay, people are, there's something magical here. I don't know what it is. I'm not attached to it, but I'm going to continue. For myself, it was almost more of a mastery of consistency, right? Can I keep showing up? Can I stick with this? And then that parlays everywhere in your life. Like, well, God, if I can show up for 15 minutes in this group every day, or if I can do this, like, well, where else can I apply a 15-minute, 20-minute increment to get incrementally better? That works like compound interest, right? And so I totally went off on a tangent here, but the whole thing is it's just with the direction of where everything is going, you know, people want to feel a part of something. So how do you do that? And I think giving people permission, I mean, really, Pete, like, I'm sure you've seen it. The only differentiating factor we have anymore is ourselves, right? I don't know if there's no new ideas, but we've all written about content. We've all written about business and inspiration. And there's all those different things out there, but the only different spin is what you bring to it. So you better be you if you want to succeed.
Brilliant. I've just made a note of that. The only differentiating factor we have is ourselves. That's brilliant. I think we may have just found the title for the podcast, Kim.
Excellent. I love it.
It's far better than MDP006 Kim Doyle, let me put it that way. One of the things you've also been doing, well, I want to say a bit more lately, but I might not be quite right with that, is you're obviously you're also a great advocate of live video as well, aren't you?
Yes, and I went into it kicking and screaming.
Please tell me that there's somewhere an edit of your very first one. I'd love to see that.
I'd really love to see that. That's a good question. I don't know. Well, you did the whole, remember my whole chicken thing, right? I think that was when you called me out for clicking like a chicken on a live stream.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. So here's the funny thing, right? Part of it is because this was my, I don't know, and this is going to be a vulnerability moment, but you know, it's like I'd done podcasting for a long time. I don't have to get ready. I, you know, raised my kids by myself. I commuted. I did the whole get up, iron your clothes at 6 a.m, get in the car for an hour. Like, I love my life. Like, I've got an amazing quality of life. And so I always use that. Plus, I have a ton of hair and I hate drying. Okay, but there's that. But really, it was more of like whether or not you're comfortable. I was comfortable with how I look. Do I want to get on camera? And I'm like, nobody cares, girl. Just go do you. Like, show up. And so for me, it was really about just get over that piece of it. And because I don't judge people. I mean, I'm sure there are people judging me, but whatever. But for the most part, when people show up and give value, I really don't care. Some of my concerns as live streaming was getting more predominant was that I saw too many people doing, they'd turn on the camera and just like talk at you. And I'm like, this has to be valuable. It has to be entertaining and not all those things necessarily at once. But I don't want someone to show up and watch me live and I'm just pontificating on all my own theories and ranting and raving. And it's just, I don't think that's sustainable. There has to be a different way to do it. So I don't do a ton of impromptu. I think I did one last week where I was telling people, because I've got something else I'm working on kind of behind the scenes while I'm doing all this content production. It's a whole system kind of thing. And so I just said to people, watch, and I'm waiting. If people are like, you've been really quiet, it's because the brand change is happening here pretty quickly. So, but in the meantime, I've got all the stuff that's going on behind the scenes. So I hopped on live and I said, you guys just watch what I'm doing. Watch what I'm doing pretty soon, you know? And so it was like telling people to pay attention that way. So the live streaming, I think there is, you know, we all know video is going to be just, it keeps every year. Like when I asked all the Content Creator Summit speakers, you know, some predictions for 2018, everybody says video. They also said that the other piece is being authentic and real and just being yourself. So I think with live streaming, there is a mix between having being prepared and sticking to an outline or a structure, pulling people in. Like I haven't ever done a live stream and repurposed it for a podcast. I know a lot of people do that. For me, I feel like it would be frustrating to listen to because I like to engage with people that are attending live. And as somebody who listens to a lot of audio, I'd be a little bit annoyed if I was listening to a thought and it's getting interrupted by someone saying, give us some likes and loves, be sure to share this. Or, oh, by the way, Pete asked this question. It might be helpful, but I also don't want to go super deep into editing. So I think the piece of all of this too is to consider the context of the content and where you're sharing it, right? So what is happening on different platforms, and are you delivering the content that works on Facebook only on Facebook? And then is your YouTube content different? Is your blog post? So thinking about that. And at the end of the day, it is work. It's all work, but it's a business. You do the work.
Absolutely. And you know, we've been talking to clients for so long about how you tailor your messaging to the platforms that you're wanting to go on. We well, at a previous company, we used to do a whole load of stuff on Facebook. This was an e-commerce development company, and we used to do a whole lot of stuff on Facebook, not because anybody would buy an e-commerce website on Facebook. You know, that's just not going to happen. But for a recruitment tool, Facebook was brilliant. Anybody that saw an ad from us, you could guarantee they would go and check us out on Facebook. So the content on Facebook was about, you know, social drinks on a Friday night, or the office dog, or go-karting championships between some of the staff, or whatever it might be. But it was all the stuff that brought the office to life, as opposed to the stuff that was about how important it is to have an e-commerce website and how to structure it this way, and the best practices for SEO and all that kind of stuff. That all went out on a different channel because that was the channel that that type of content was suitable for. And I guess what you're really saying is that live video or all of these different tactics, live video, podcasting, courses, you name it, they're all, it's basically the same mentality, isn't it? Just think of the stuff that works on that platform, and if there's a purpose for you to do it, if it's going to grow your business in one way, shape or form, then it's worthwhile doing.
Absolutely. And to add on to that, you know, with live streaming, I've seen, I had a friend that was getting zero traction on her live streams, and I would watch it and I'm thinking, okay, where's your personality? Like it's kind of like watching paint dry. I didn't say this to her, but I'm like, nobody wants to watch somebody get up and now da 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 da. And maybe you do, but I think it depends on the market, right? And so, this person had this spicy, sarcastic personality. I'm like, pull that in. Like, you have to pull in that element of you that is going to draw your right tribe to you. Don't get me wrong. Like, I had a podcast review. Gosh, I don't know. So great content, but needs editing. And I'm like, bye. I'm like, I'm not for you then. And it's okay. But that's the whole point of this, right? I mean, you look at, I mean, again, using Russell Brunson as an example, he's got a ton of haters. I don't think he cares, right? He's doing his thing. He's got his mission. And so when you're doing things for the right reason, when you show up with the intention to deliver, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to polarize people. When people join the Content Creators Facebook group, we ask them, what's one of your biggest challenges with content? And inevitably, somebody will say, you know, oh, besides looking for ideas or staying inspired, but how do you create content that resonates with your audience without alienating them? I'm like, alienate them. Like, you don't need to be a jerk, but you can't, if you're creating or publishing or putting anything out to the world and holding back, you're doing such a disservice to the people that are in this for the long haul with you and need to hear what you have to say. You know, there's a guy that I was in a mastermind with a few years ago. I don't know if people His name is Garrett J. White, and he actually spoke at Funnel Hacking Live too, and he's killing it. He created this thing called Warrior Week, and it is for men only, and he focuses on body, being, business, and balance. I mean, they do these $10,000, it's probably $25,000 a week. Men come, and they're out on the beach doing like Navy SEAL training, but then they're like journaling and doing all this stuff. Garrett does not care. You're either going to love him or hate him. And so he has built this amazing company in a span of, you know, 3 years. He got this 10x. So he's doing 10 figures or eight, wow. Excuse me, eight figures a year, right? So because, but you have to take a stance at some point. And it doesn't have to necessarily be a controversial stance, but it was kind of like, even for WordPress Chick, when things shifted for me was when I owned. I am not a developer. Developers don't follow me. That's fine. You know, it's people who want to do marketing and content or want to learn how to use this for their business. And it was like, I had to own that. And because I always felt like one of these things just doesn't belong here until I took that position. And so if you can just step back, and again, it doesn't have to be controversial, but here's a great example, Pete, is so I just refunded the first course I have ever refunded in 10 years. It was almost a $2,000 course. And it was, I paid for, say, version 3 of this course. And like a month in, the guy delivers us, oh, here's version 2. We're getting the modules out. It's coming. It's coming. Never delivered version 3. And I said, you didn't deliver what you said. Well, and the whole thing is, I can't decide if I'm going to do a post about it. But at some point, it's like, I don't care if you've had 5,000 people say this is the best course ever. You sold a product you didn't deliver. I want my money back. End of story. And so you have to be willing to take that stance. You know, there's an old saying, if you don't stand for something, you fall for anything. Right. And I believe that. And I'm never going to be, I probably won't do a post on that whole thing because I just don't believe in putting negative energy out. And it's like, why revisit it? It's done. And it ended up being more comical. Like, this guy's a little bit nutty, but it's one of those things that you have to be willing to say, no, you know, and really take that stance for yourself. And you might get haters, you might get some, you know, pushback on that. But I can guarantee you'll feel better about you at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's a very good point. That is a very good point. And I think it's a big mindset change for those of us that have worked in service-based businesses or are currently working in service-based businesses, or even for those who maybe work in larger organizations and they feel like quite a small cog in a big wheel kind of thing. There's an emphasis on trying to please everybody all of the time. But actually, the point of standing up on your own two feet and putting yourself out there and the personal brand is saying that this is me. If you don't agree with me, that's fine. But this is me.
Absolutely. You know, it reminds me of people that, I'm totally going to date myself here. But, you know, think about, I don't know, TV and music and stuff even, where like in high school, right? Like I grew up. I graduated high school in late 80s. And so there was, you know, when metal and stuff was big and you would have parents, all these people, I'm like, turn the channel. Don't listen to it. It's okay that these different things exist. You don't have to agree with it. You don't have to like it. Just go. Like, I don't understand people. It's weird. Like, people look for a reason to be offended. I just don't care. Like, go do you. Just don't be a crumb about it, right? Like, I don't care. You know what? Hey, if you want to pose with a Lamborghini, do you. I may not want to follow you, but whatever. And not because you have a Lamborghini, but I don't care. And I find that when you're focused, when you're living your life from your own, I don't know, North Star, if you will, and you're doing what you feel is right and you're putting out the best that you can, you don't care. Like, I don't have time. I don't even pay attention to people that bug me. I might see something and that's stupid, or I unfollow a lot on Facebook because I am responsible for what I put into my head. I'm responsible for the energy I bring into my house, all of that. And I'm like, I am totally Pollyanna. I want to feel good, period.
So, well, what's the next chapter then got in store for Kim Doyle? What's the next plan?
So it is the whole personal brand, and I'm really excited about that. So wonderful Devinder is doing my site. I'm just beside myself. So hopefully that'll happen, and I'll be adding some stuff to it, but I might do sort of a farewell party to the WordPress chick, so to speak. And, you know, and I was a different, somebody had asked me like, well, why don't you keep it up for traffic? I'm like, because I'm ready to close that chapter. So everything will be done from Kim Doyle. I'm just going to keep pushing the content creators group and doing what I do with content. I have another course that's coming out probably mid-May. That's sort of under wraps because I'm doing the work to get the data to do the course. And I'm doing this with someone else. But lead surveys, I'm just going all in with the personal brand and the software and just going to share the journey. You know, I'm excited. Like I said, the podcast will just become the Kim Doyle Show. Lead surveys, we're doing a podcast for that too. And for people listening, our mascot's a fox. So the podcast is Don't Give a Fox. And, you know, I had done some interviews and content for it last year, but, you know, a year later, I'm like, I don't know if that's a direction I want to go. Because again, I don't want it to be the Kim Doyle Show. And I don't want it to, I don't know. I don't totally know what it's going to look like just yet. So, you know, that's it. I'm just going forward with software and the personal brand. I'd love to get into doing more speaking. And I'm going to launch a, for Kim Doyle, another one of my hashtags. I just keep making these up, hoping they'll stick, is just show up. And so I'm going to do Just Show Up TV. That'll be once a week. And that's a little bit more about the mindset and when you have the courage to get back up when a product launch fails or when a website goes sideways or a client fires you or all those things that we all deal with in business. And it's not going to be a downer, but we all deal with them. A lot of people aren't willing to share them. So Just Show Up is really about, doesn't matter, you get back on the horse and you do it again. So that's kind of what I'm doing.
That sounds cool. Well, look, you're part of our Facebook group, aren't you?
I am.
Fantastic. So as all this stuff happens, please feel free to drop it in the group or send it to me and I'll stick it in the group, because it'd be really great to support you in the changes and the new stuff that you've got coming up. And, you know, I really appreciate the time you spent with us today as well.
Thank you so much for that. And thank you, Pete. This has just been fantastic. And I will, of course, be sharing this everywhere.
Thank you very much. Well, look, I've only got through about half the stuff I'd written in my Evernote to talk to you about, but I'm aware of the time, so maybe we should arrange another one of these in a couple of months if you're up for that. And
we'll be delighted.
That'd be brilliant. Cheers, Kim.
Thanks, Pete.
So there you have it. I told you it was a great one. As Kim mentioned, you can find her in our Facebook group. If you head over to peteeverett.com/group, it'll redirect you on, or search Facebook for the Marketing Development Podcast. Look forward to seeing you in the group, and we'll see you next week.